This is straight out of Crumpton with your host, Greg Crumpton.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Straight Out of Crumpton. I'm Greg Crumpton, your HVAC guy, your people guy, and your guy who wants to know a lot about other people. So looking forward to having a fun day. Today, we have Craig Migliaccio from AC Service Tech joining us. Craig is a guy who I have personally followed online for a few years now, and the man does some really cool stuff for our industry, for the people of our industry, and for the future of our industry. So we were in Chicago recently, and I had the chance to bump into him for a moment, but figured we could have him on today, learn a little bit about him, what he's doing, and really why he's doing it. So, Craig, I know there's a lot to say before you get the talk, but welcome to Straight Out of Crumpton. Glad you're here, buddy.
Greg, I appreciate you having me on. I really do.
Well, as I said, I have followed you for a while, and you know that I'm a complete HVAC nerd and have been for many, many years. And I also have a passion for developing people and helping people move into our industry. And I love how you're doing it. And it's just really fun to watch that develop and continue to develop. But before we jump in too deep, give us a little bit about you and how and why and a little bit of your backstory, if you don't mind.
Sure, Greg. And I just wanted to let you know that I really appreciate you getting behind a lot of people in the industry. And I see that. So that's kind of what made me, you know, I said, hey, I want to get together with Greg because I see you lifting other people up in our industry, those that are trying to educate and help those in the industry. So I appreciate what you're doing. And as far as how I got started teaching or how I got started in the industry?
Let's do both. I mean, what the heck?
So I did college for about 1 year at the age of about 19. And then after that, I left the college and decided I wanted hands-on. And I started thinking about what industry to get involved with. And so everybody has a water heater. Everybody has a heating and cooling system at their house. And so I thought, you know what? This is a recession-proof industry. And that was over 20 years ago now. And thinking about it back then, and so I started applying locally without any experience. I didn't go to HVAC school or anything like that. And I got hired locally and I worked at this company for about 3 months and it was not a good fit. It was kind of one of those things where people didn't want to invest in you because they were afraid that you'd get a raise instead of them. And there was a lot of drug use at this particular company and time theft from the company, which as an apprentice, I was getting angry about and like kind of like yelling at the people that I was working with on the job sites. And so that didn't last for long, as you can tell. And so then I started looking around, researching a little bit better, you know, for this time to see what company I wanted to try to get involved with. And I found a company that was about 45 minutes away, but had a branch that was local to me. And so I went there, I applied, and he hired me right away. He did about 1 or 2 days kind of an examination on me. And then he put me with the installation service manager that had like 35 years experience. And it was awesome because I could ask him questions during lunchtime and on the job sites. And so, and he didn't mind, you know, he actually, you know, encouraged that. Right. So then after about a year, I got my own service truck, or actually install truck, and we specialized in existing home retrofits. And not only just retrofits, but, you know, all new ductwork or all new boiler system in an existing house on the islands here. We're a tourist town. So our like 10, 20 times the population during the summer. And so there's a lot of vacation homes where people aren't in there during the wintertime. We would go in and pipe all this stuff in. So anyway, I started training my own helpers, and then they would get their own installation vehicles. And so then I started doing service at night and on the weekends. And this, the installation service manager said, hey, if you have a question, you can call me, even if it's in the middle of the night. If I get stuck on a job, like if it's 12, 2 a.m., he said to call him. And guess what? He picked up, which is crazy. You know what I'm saying? And there's not just me, there's like three other service people there. And so I really appreciated that because there was no YouTube or you couldn't look up a topic on Google or anything like that in order to help you. And a lot of times the service manuals were not there. Some of the equipment was new to me. And so that really helped. And so from there, I worked there a bit longer and I did installs and service. I didn't do as much new construction, but I did do some, and it was residential like commercial. Then that company owner sold that company, and I started my own company, half carpentry, half HVAC. Most of the family members in my family were carpenters. My grandfather was an architect, and so that felt natural to me. I, you know, bought my first house and things. You know, after 1 year in the field, I made enough money to buy my own house, you know, with a down payment and everything at a young age of like 21. And I was, you know, working on that at night, you know, learning there as well, constantly learning, but there was no YouTube back then.
Right.
And so I would sub out my family members to help with the carpentry jobs. And then I became a Bryant and Payne and Carrier dealer. Well, actually, as a Bryant dealer, obviously it's all Payne, Carrier, Bryant. And so I was doing that for a while. Then we had our first child. I worked at a school and I was the maintenance director. Actually, it was a co-director thing, but I was the construction manager and he was more of the communication with the school kind of manager. But we both went and fixed things. You know, but I would take care of all the heating, cooling systems and stuff like that. And I had there was a job shadowing program there. So I could take one student at a time and I could teach them things, you know, because this school was where kids went if you couldn't get into a regular public school because you got kicked out.
Yeah.
So this was pretty cool. It would allow them to kind of shadow me on some of the safer jobs. Then I started going to school at night to learn how to teach better because I always had that passion to want to teach because I was involved with like the youth group kids at our church. I liked being alongside them and kind of helping them in life. And then also with this job shadowing program, I really enjoyed teaching the trades. And I always enjoyed teaching the trades when I worked for the second company. I really enjoyed teaching those helpers there. Not so much when I own my own company.
Right.
It's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. Well, man, what a great start. So, you know, you said we didn't have YouTube and that. I'll laugh because neither did I. I had several of those foundational guys in my life. My dad was one of them. He was an industry veteran as well as other people. And it's so ironic how there's two kinds of people, those that are willing to share and those that hold it close. And my wife and I, we refer to that as living with an abundance mentality or a scarcity mentality. And, you know, we like to live in abundance and try to give it all away and try to help because that's what keeps our kids and our youth coming through. You know, great little, just a quick side note. My wife was on a store yesterday and she was browsing around looking at some stuff. And she heard one lady talking to this other lady about her kid and that he had suddenly gained an interest in going to technical school about air conditioning. And I live in Greenville, South Carolina, and our technical school is literally a mile down the road from me. And my wife was over here and she said, ladies, I would normally not do this, but my husband would love to talk to your son to help him understand the industry. So, you know, we want to give it away and try to recruit. And it sounds like that, you know, is definitely your mentality. So I love that.
Yeah. I really want to try to invest in other people. Yeah. And I think that's what life's all about. I mean, other than that, what else do you have? You know, like you have the job site, you have your customer relationship. So you get the pride in your job, the customer relationship, and the relationship with the people at the supply house. But life's about people, right? It just happens that we work on these machines. And I love HVAC, but it's a tool to support our family. And I love solving problems. But like I said, life is about people and serving people is kind of like one of those things that's going to bring you joy and fulfillment in life. You know, just working on a machine by itself, I'm not necessarily sure that is going to really bring that joy and fulfillment, that thing that you're probably looking for ever since you're young. But everybody's built differently. So, you know, that's kind of how it is.
That's the beauty of it. You know, we all have our own routes to get to where we are and where we're going. So, well, I was reading about you on your website in the about page, and I found it, I guess, inspirational that after only 3 months, you're like, no, I got to get out of here. This isn't my kind of place. And I worked for a company like that one time for a very brief period as well, 6 months. But you know when you fit and when you don't, you know, that's the cool thing. Tell me how you got from contracting and running your own company to now AC Service Tech as a training and an education platform. How you made that leap? What made you decide to go full-time on the training piece? I'm really curious about that.
Yeah. So while I was working at that school as a maintenance, you know, co-director or whatever, it's like a shared position, I was going to school at night to get a teaching degree because at the local county technical school, there was a position opening up there for an HVAC teacher. And so I started teaching for about 2 years at night in the adult training. And so the adult training was for building maintenance because there was already an HVAC teacher there at night. So I did that for about 2 years, and with the state, they were not willing to take my college credits and work experience. Actually, they weren't willing to take my work experience, even though they should have, you know, for basically how they laid it out to get the alternate route for a certificate of eligibility to teach HVAC. Because they do want people from the field, not necessarily that just have an engineering degree or college degree in order to teach the students, you know, a technical field. But for some reason, they weren't taking my work experience, because they said if you're self-employment, you know, you have 20 hours a week that you work. And I'm like, you're crazy, you know, 60 to 80 hours, you know. Right. So anyway, after that battle, I had to end up going to college at night through Thomas Edison State College. I got like 42 college credits, and like it was literally 4 months. And I wrote prior learning assessments and took tests. I tested out of a bunch of different stuff in order to get enough college credits to get an associate's degree. Then after I got that, along with 2 years of work experience for when I worked for that second company, the state took that and then awarded me the certificate of eligibility to teach sheet metal, HVACR. And during that whole struggling period, I did get the building maintenance before I got that, you know, college degree. Gotcha. So I got those three teaching certificates. When the position opened up with the daytime students for the high school, I applied in there, and there was a person mentoring me in the adult ed. And so he said, basically, you got to get all these certificates of eligibility because there's no way that they can hire somebody else instead of you if you have more, you know, certificates ready. And so that's what happened. And so even though they wanted to hire somebody else, they ended up hiring me.
You outpapered them.
Yeah. So that's what I tell people. I was like, you know, it's not about how smart you are. It's about how much you want it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how like people tell you you're not smart or tell you you're not good enough or anything like that. Nothing. None of that matters. It all matters as far as how hard you go after something. That's it. That's really the secret in life. And so anyway, I pushed hard, got in, got hired. But then once I got into the high school, I realized, oh no, you know, I've never went to a high school for HVAC. You know, I just did a regular public school. I never went to a career tech ed or a for-profit school, you know, kind of that taught HVAC. So I started thinking, I don't want to pass on information that was just passed on to me and not know if it was actually correct or not. And then there's all these books that are just like 2.5 inches thick that were written by, it looks like, an engineer, and there was no procedures in it, which I found crazy because I'm like, how am I supposed to teach these high school kids how to do their jobs without any procedures written down in your books? And so I started reading all the code books. I started pulling out information out of these little books and looking at them and things like that, and just taking little tiny sections and started teaching that to the students. I stayed at night, like after the students left, and I started just doing experiments and things like that, and to get better and to know if what I was teaching was accurate. And I had some students that challenged me, and I didn't know some of the answers, so that made me dig even more. And so from all that digging, I looked at it as maybe a negative on my account, but nowadays I look at it as a positive, because I didn't just do what somebody else, like I didn't just replicate what somebody else was going to do. So that's how I got into the high school teaching. And so I taught for the high school students for 3 years before I started then doing the videos, because I was thinking, you know, the videos are pretty cool because then I could assign them as substitute lessons when I'm inevitably sick like 3 times a year. I was getting sick like for like 1 day, 3 times a year with just being around the students and all the sicknesses in the school and stuff like that. And so I started a YouTube channel and I put those videos in there, and I made probably about 50 before summertime came, which is a lot. And I didn't know how to edit or anything like that. I was just putting them out there, just one shot takes. And over that summertime, all of a sudden people online, you know, because I did want to see if it was going to be kind of like, you know, used by anybody, you know, online. Because I had a friend of mine that said, if you could do videos in the construction trade, you know, that would be really cool. You know, like there's a lot of desire for people to want to learn in those fields. So I said, I'd try it. And so it was like no views at all for like 5 months, 4 or 5 months, and summer hit, and all of a sudden people are watching up and all that stuff. So that's how it started.
Well, I admire you, Craig, because there's nothing like teaching to make you learn. You know, if you're going to, when I was, I turned out of a 4-year apprenticeship program, and then I immediately went back in as an instructor. Now I look back and I was too young, you know, too immature to do as good of a job as I could have done now with more maturity and, you know, more life experience. But I found out really quickly, even as a young person, if you're going to teach something, there's no BSing. You've got to know, like you said, you get challenged by your student. Even more so, I was now instructing guys that I had went to school with the previous year. So it was kind of a fun dynamic, but they kept me on my toes, which made me dig even deeper into the subject matter to make sure that they couldn't call BS on me. So I admire that. So, all right. So here we are. We're rolling along. You've got this cool platform. What does AC Service Tech do? Do you bring in students from abroad, in person, online, combo? What does your day-to-day look like now? How do you go to market, so to speak?
Well, let me back up a little bit, and then I'm going to answer that question, or maybe you can just remind me of that question.
Yeah.
Because I was teaching in the high school, right? So I was teaching for the high school students, and then I was teaching the adult classes 1 to 2 days a week. I still had my construction company, and I was doing only heating, cooling customers, like taking care of their jobs, like those that were like very good customers. So I would take care of them, and had
I
two young kids.
You still had that going on.
I forgot. Yeah. Well, I did. No, I did. And so what was happening, it was I was doing all that and making the videos and started writing a book at that 3-year mark. And so I ended up getting burnout and I ended up getting mono and I couldn't think past like 11 a.m. And so I sat and talked with an elder at my church, kind of a good friend of mine, almost like a second grandfather kind of person to me. And so I sat with him and talked with him, talked through this whole thing, wanted to make the right decision because I wanted to go full time into the HVAC education, you know, online. And I was thinking that and the reality of it was I needed time for my mind to heal and stuff. I wasn't doing right by my students in the school, too. So I decided I would resign from the school and then pursue online HVAC education through the YouTube videos and through this book. And so after I left the school, and I'm a pretty private person at that point, you know, so I just said, I'm going to focus on my business. And so everybody thought I'm just going back into contracting again, but I leaned into the HVAC education business, kept my other contracting business going and would take on jobs and stuff like that as well, because obviously there was not much of any income coming in from
the family.
Yeah. So it took me another year to get the book finished and edited, and a retired teacher was helping me because you already heard my story. Where did I learn how to write from? Well, it was by doing it because, you know, people looked at me like, Craig doesn't read books. He's just going to write a book. You know what I mean? Like as a joke, you know what I mean? Just to bust my chops, because I needed a lot of help to make sure that the things that I was trying to say are what I actually meant. And so it took a year with this retired teacher to really edit this book. His name's Frank. And that was really beneficial and helpful. And so then we published the book and built the website. And I was hoping that we would sell, like, say, 4 books a day, but we sold a lot more than that. That was the refrigerant charging and service procedures for air conditioning. And so that's the main thing that supports our online HVAC education, you know, and so people know about us from our YouTube channel and from other social media platforms now, but that's the main way in which we're able to do what we're able to do. So now fast forward to where we're at now, there's about 9 people involved with our AC Service Tech LLC online HVAC business. There's so much to do that I can't necessarily take on too much in-person training at this point. And so, like, Ty Braneman came over during the summertime. We did a couple in-person classes here. We invited some of the local contractors. And I might like to maybe try to do something like that just locally. Like, I don't want to fly people in or anything like that. Just, like, local, you know, low-pressure kind of thing.
Yeah.
Teach, you know, locally, maybe a little bit, once a month or something, twice a month here. Because now I end up having to fly out and do presentations. You're expected to be some master or whatever presenter. You go out to these events and things. But it just takes a lot to prepare all the things. So I'm constantly, you know, working on videos. Everybody thinks of those videos don't take very long to make, but a 5 to 10 minute video may take, you know, 3-4 days. And so people don't realize how long those things take to set up, test, make the machine fail in the way that you want it to fail, record all of it, maybe do subsequent audio recordings, edit that thing, and set it up on all the social media platforms, cut like a small like a promo clip or whatever. It all takes a lot of time. And then we do a podcast now, and we do small social media clips on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, business LinkedIn. And so we work with different manufacturers just to try to get some word out and some education in reference to that. And I'm working on a rewrite for the refrigerant charging book. It's going to take a while. You know, we just got done and published on the mini split book, which is the inverter mini split operation and service procedures book. That one took 2 years.
Wow.
The refrigerant charging book took 3 years. And that, so the 3 year refrigerant charging book that had like 200 custom images in it. The mini split book had like 450 custom images in it. And it just takes a long, long time in order to make these while also holding everything else together in order to then being beneficial for everybody.
Well, you know, entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. That's for sure. I've had the pleasure of running my own company, having some companies now that I run on the side away from my day job. And, you know, it's really like the dude at the circus spinning the plates. But we also enjoy that. I find that when I don't have that, you know, I'm happier when I'm fully involved. I've just got to be all in. And it sounds like you enjoy all those different aspects for sure. So just a quick technical flip here. Are you doing anything differently in your literature and online for the A2L refrigerants, or how are you addressing that now?
Yeah, so that's part of the rewrite for the refrigerant charging book is updating for R454B and R32, adding that in there. It's mentioned in the inverter mini split book, but at that time, here's the problem is we need to have more of the equipment out. After the inverter mini split book got done, after that is when they decided that we were going to be able to use disposable bottles.
Right.
And so it was like, okay, well, then we can start using that. Because that's a big thing. Just even absolutely. In my step-by-step procedures, what bottle I have to put on the scale, you know, and which way is it inverted or is it upside down or vertical, and how the hose is connected, because it's all illustrated images. We can't just take pictures of equipment and then track down with all the manufacturers if we could use an image of their stuff. That is a mess. So we just make everything illustrated. I would think it wouldn't be a mess, but it seems to be a mess. Yeah. So that's why we do everything in illustrated images. And so we don't have to worry about, you know, getting everybody's authorization or waiting
unless
on them.
Unless lawyers involved, right?
Oh, gosh. It's nuts. Well, you know, you think like, hey, we're doing this benefit by having you in the book, but it's a lot, you know? Yeah.
Well, just look at that one piece, the refrigerant cylinder. I mean, it is a piece of our industry. It's a piece of training, but it's just a very, very microcosm of it. But yet you really have to have that understanding of which one to use. And does it have a red stripe around it? Does it not? And does it matter? You know, you have all that stuff out there. It's a beautiful thing that you're doing. So,
We have a couple other things going on too. So we're waiting on the recovery bottle situation. So we need to know that still.
Right.
And we also have to see the equipment coming out and exactly what sensors or not are going to be in air conditioners and also in heat pumps. And so we need those two keys of the puzzle still. So while I'm editing this, you know, we're going to get the answers on those two things and then we'll publish as soon as that's done. So that's part of the issue. It's like we need people to decide what they're going to do because the
people
governing
being
bodies.
OEMs, right?
Right, OEMs and manufacturers. Yeah, people, I'm sorry. OEMs and manufacturers. And it's not their fault either because it's like things are so vague that they have to, quote unquote, make things up and just decide, you know what, we're going to do this. Since you're not being clear, we're going to do this thing. But I need them to decide that so that I can then teach people how to use that thing in a procedural manner. So it's like it's a multi-step thing that, you know, is part of the problem.
Well, it's real life is across the street, a little ways up the road, is a Subway sandwich shop I go to for lunch fairly often. And I was talking to a building code official in there the other day, a month or so ago. And I said, so what do you make of the A2L refrigerant sensor debacle?
Yeah, and he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
He said, what is that? So we had a Subway sandwich together while me, contractor boy, explained A2L refrigerants to the guy who is approving jobs right now with R32 on them. And it's baffling. It's truly baffling to me how we get to these conditions.
Yeah. And the other thing is, so you have multiple layers of this as well. So code books are only written, say, every 3 years, right? So you have that, and then they have to be adopted locally. So, and then the manufacturers have to invest enough in the equipment and know that they have to have a certain volume of sales. But if only a certain amount of states have approved the code books, and it takes a long time for the code books to even get written and add these things in there, it's just a trickle effect. So you're talking like a 5-year thing. Whereas, you know, the main governing bodies of the EPA makes the rules and expects maybe, hey, they're going to go into effect right away. But that's why you saw like all of this pushback with the R410A systems, that we didn't have a sell-through period from 2025 to 2026. And all of a sudden we're supposed to flip. And it's like, well, you can't physically, because the trickle down effect, you know, with all the local cities and everything like that, we're not even ready yet. So how's that possible? And so, yeah, it's a kind of a pain, but you know what? It's for people like us, you know, that are educating. It's another thing that I guess that we need to address. And everybody just looks at you and you're like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
And so you're like, all right, I guess I need to do this. I need to stop the other things that I'm doing. I need to focus on the education here on that. So.
Well, it was a good conversation I had with a guy, because he's like, we need people like y'all from the industry coming in to talk to us about what's going on, because to your point, they're working, you know, off of a code book. I think that he told me they're working out a 2021 code book in South Carolina. And I may be wrong about the date, but it was dated.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. It's crazy, but it's also fun. I'm not liking it. It's just baffling to me how slow the governmental wheels can turn. All right. So, if somebody wants to get involved in training and they want your content, and how do they get involved with you? Do they become a membership enrollment? What does that look like? How do you run your business?
So we have a distribution team here, like literally, you know, 100 feet away that handles all that. So basically, if people want to utilize PowerPoints, if it's a teacher that wants to utilize PowerPoints and some of our books, they would contact info@acservicetech.com and talk to Patricia or Linda and basically tell them what they're looking for. And then from there, then they can get them a custom quote on books and stuff like that, at quantity discounts and stuff like that. Other than that, they can utilize the YouTube videos. You know, they're as long as you view them through YouTube, you know, you can play them in the classroom, but we don't like to see that happen a lot, you know, only a little bit for something that they don't have in the classroom themselves. The object is that we're supposed to be trying to inspire how these things can be shown, you know, to the students. And so I'm hoping that people would have displays, you know, of each of these pieces of equipment in their classroom that they can pull out and teach in a hands-on manner instead of just watching the videos.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that, the books, the PowerPoints, and then the quick reference cards are things that I used to have in the back of my shop, where we would have the students run through charging exercises on single and two-stage systems and air conditioning mode in order to determine the superheat, the subcooling, and also to do troubleshooting, so that you can teach troubleshooting, you know, with that stuff. So that's as far as we're at right now. So we are in contact with different CTE schools across the country. There's about 1,600 of them between, say, colleges and high schools across the country for HVAC. And so we send out email blasts and things like that, just letting them know of a new video that comes out or a new resource on the website. We've got a bunch of articles. We've got quizzes, you know, that they can use on the website, and calculators and things like that.
Awesome. Well, it's a lot of good content from what I've seen. So I'm excited that it's growing for you. And I swear that I believe the tide is beginning to ebb the right way for us as an industry. I'm excited. Next week, I'll be in Vegas. Are you going out for the ESCO show?
Yeah, I'll be there. So I'll be there for Tuesday only, but okay. I will be there. So yeah.
Cool. Yep. I'll see you there for sure. You know, when I love to go to this, and it's such a I don't know, it's an enriching environment where you can see people who are passionate about teaching. And, you know, there's every facet. There's PhDs in there, and there's service techs like me in there, you know, that we've come through all varieties of and walks of life to get to that point of learning. And you mentioned the hands-on. I love the combination of online and hands-on. That's a good hybrid role. My friend Bill and his wife, Lori Northrup from iConnect, are going to be out there. They've got the display units that you use in classrooms. It's just a great group of people that are together. So, well, Craig, as we begin to put a bow on this, tell us the best way people can get in touch with you. Website, I'm assuming, is the launching jumping off point.
Yeah, so questions can come into info@acservicetech.com. It is hard. I will tell you this. I used to answer every single question that came in on YouTube and in the emails. I can't do it anymore. It's just physically impossible. So I try my best, you know, and that's about as far as I can go. We got to the point where we had answered like 14,000 comments, and it's like, I can't, you know what I mean? Like, there's just time, you know, trying to get everything situated and done. But info@acservicetech.com, our website is acservicetech.com, and you can find us on that handle on all the social media platforms. And I think we're also on X as well. So, but mainly our main one is YouTube. Second biggest or whatever is TikTok, then Facebook, then Instagram, and then business LinkedIn, you know, connect with us there. And that'll let you know kind of where we're going to be at, where we're traveling to or presenting at, or new videos that come out. And so, you know, on those other social media platforms, we post like usually once a day, and it could just be one small educational moment or a picture or a short video or whatever. And Ty Brandeman, he's a good friend of mine, and he encouraged me. He's like, it doesn't have to be very long like YouTube, you know, it can just be a snippet, you know. Yeah. As long as it's some type of education, you are facilitating learning on all those different platforms, you know. So I think that's really cool.
Well, I love the nugget mentality. You know, I'm hosting this thing in a couple of weeks for all of our safety professionals in the company. And I always tell them, if you can just leave here after 2 days with a nugget that you can take home and figure out, okay, Crumpton said this, how can I adopt that into what I'm doing locally? And if I can just get one nugget out of that day, then I feel like it's a success. So good stuff. Well, Craig, I really appreciate you taking time with us this morning. Obviously, you're busy. You've got 9 people, which means you really have like 18 things to worry about at one time. You got a lot going on, but I'm really proud to see your platform growing and you know, just what you're doing overall for the industry. And more so for the young folks that are coming into it. It's great to see, and I applaud you for it.
I appreciate you, Greg, and thank you for just being there to lift people up in the HVAC educational arena. And it's really encouraging when I see you doing that online. It's I smile, you know what I mean, when I see it. So it's really cool. I appreciate you.
I appreciate that. I am fortunate that I want to do it, and I work for a company that allows me the time to do it. They let me kind of have mystery time, Crumpton time. So it all works out. But I look forward to seeing you next Tuesday. But in the meantime, everyone, go check the man out. See what you think about his content. He is a force to be reckoned with within the HVAC, and in particular, the educational variety of the HVAC. So without further ado, Craig, thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I hope you get a little one nugget out of this. It'll be worth the day. And as always, Straight Outta Crumpton is available at gregcrumpton.com, Spotify, Apple, all the usual spots that you go to find your content. We are there. I'm on LinkedIn. And Craig is everywhere. You can see on his webpage, he's got every logo available to follow and learn what they're doing. So without further ado, have a great rest of the week, and we look forward to talking to you all soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Craig.